Thank you to our wonderful bands and to those who've been reading from Luke's Gospel. My name's Ben. I'm the pastor here at Barney's. I want to add my welcome to Kate's, especially if you are visiting us this evening. It's great to have you with us. I'm not going to take too much of your time. We're just going to focus in on two of the verses that have been read for us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is where the angel brings the message of Christmas to the shepherds. This is an announcement from God to the world, telling us what Christmas is all about. What does the angel say? What is the Christmas message? It is good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. We all know about good news. We've all had some experience of receiving good news. News that brings joy to our hearts, a smile to our face, maybe tears to our eyes. Maybe it's getting the exam results that you wanted. Maybe it's hearing the news that friends are engaged. Maybe the news that a new baby has been born. Good news, great joy. And God is saying in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas message, it's in that category. In fact, it's at the top. If you hear it and it's not the best news you've ever heard, well, you haven't understood it, you haven't got it. Now, a week on from the attack in Bondi, it might seem inappropriate to be talking about joy, to be talking about celebrating. And certainly the Bible calls us to mourn with those who mourn, even as we rejoice with those who rejoice. But the message of Christmas, it's not a superficial joy. It's not a light and fluffy joy. No, it's a message of joy to people living in darkness. It's more like the message that war has ended, that rescue has arrived. And against the backdrop of events like last Sunday, the message of Christmas is needed more than ever. What is the good news that the angel brings? It's there in verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. These might be familiar words to you, but what do they mean? Most simply, the angel is announcing a birth. A baby boy has been born. And the angel tells us who this baby is. A Savior. A Savior has been born to you, the angel says. The angel saying to the shepherds, your Savior has come. But more than that, the angel says this news will bring great joy for all people, even English cricket fans. The angel seems, and congratulations to Australia. The angel seems to be saying that Jesus, well, he's good news for all people because he's everyone's Savior, yours and mine. And so we're there, aren't we? We're there in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. We're some of the all people that the angel says can experience great joy. Christmas is good news for you and me. Our Savior has come. And if we can grasp hold of that message, well, it will bring great joy, life-changing joy. But I'm guessing not many of us here this evening are full of rejoicing at hearing this news. And the question I want us to consider is, what might it be that's blocking our joy? The Savior's come. Why aren't we dancing full of joy? I think there are at least three reasons. We don't think it's what we need. We don't think it's what we want. And we're not quite sure it's real. I wonder if you've ever faked a joyful response at receiving a Christmas gift. You know, you're unwrapping the present, and maybe the person who's given it to you doesn't have a great track record with presents, and so you're preparing yourself for the obligatory response, and as you open it, you say, thank you so much, it's lovely. But what you're thinking is, it's useless, and I'm going to sell it on Marketplace next week. Why didn't they ask me what I actually wanted? Or I wonder if you've ever received a card that says, gift to follow, but you're not quite sure that it ever will. It's not what you needed, not what you wanted, and you're not sure it's real. Maybe it's just an empty promise. It seems to me that is how many people think about Jesus. Those are at least three reasons why we don't respond with joy to this news. Oh, we can fake it. We can muster up a bit of joy at Christmas. We can feel something maybe as we sing the carols. But if we're honest in our hearts, the real deep joy at the birth of our Savior is missing. And these are, I think, three reasons why. We're going to look at each briefly. I'm going to turn them around because I want to make the claim this evening that Jesus is the Savior we need, He is the Savior we want, and He's the Savior who is real. So firstly, Jesus is the Savior that we need. It's obvious, isn't it? The message that a Savior has come, it's only good news to you if you need saving. Imagine, wait a moment. Imagine I gave you one of these for Christmas. Here we go. I'm going to throw it. Ready to catch? Imagine I gave you one of these for Christmas. How would you respond? Ben, how lovely. Thank you so much. But what you're really thinking is, it's useless. I'm going to sell it on Marketplace next week. You'll get about $25, so I'm not completely useless. But a life buoy, is that a present that brings great joy? What if you're drowning? Yes. You know, if you're desperately in need of saving, then, well, yeah, it does. The news that our Savior has come, are you happy holding that? Great. The news that our Savior has come, it's only going to cause us great joy if we realize how desperately we need saving. You'll only get the Christmas message if you're willing to admit you're someone who needs Christmas, someone who needs a Savior. And that's hard because it offends our pride, because it tells us that there's something wrong with us, there's something that needs fixing, that we're people who can't do it on our own. We actually need someone to come and rescue us. A bit later in Luke, Jesus tells us in his own words why he's come. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. He's saying, I haven't come to congratulate people who think they're sorted. I've come to help people. I've come to save people who know they're not. Jesus came to heal our spiritual sickness. He came to fix our brokenness. He came to forgive our sin. Now, of course, Jesus didn't save us as a baby, and you can't fully understand Christmas without the rest of the Jesus story. You can't understand the significance of the baby in the manger without looking to the man on the cross. See, the whole reason Jesus came was to live as one of us and to die on behalf of us. It's only through Jesus and his death on the cross that we can be forgiven and have our relationship with God restored. He's the Savior we need. I wonder if you recognize that need. Secondly, Jesus is the Savior that we want. Salvation kind of has two parts, doesn't it? We're saved from something, we're also saved for something. What does Jesus save us for? Supremely, himself. He saves us so we can enjoy him, enjoy being friends with him. Jesus doesn't just forgive us, he fulfills us. And we all have a Savior in that sense, don't we? Something or someone that we look to for fulfillment, for security, for satisfaction, for significance in life. It might be money that we look to for security. It might be material pleasures that we look to for satisfaction. It might be our achievements that we look to for significance. Or it might be a person, a parent, a spouse, a friend that we look to for fulfillment. And listen, those things, those people, that they're good things. And we can experience some level of fulfillment in them, but they can't deliver at an ultimate level, can they? They can't deliver that ultimate deep satisfaction that we long for. Saint Augustine famously prayed, "You've made us for yourself, O Lord." and our heart is restless until it rests in you. I wonder if you know something of that restlessness, that dissatisfaction, that feeling that surely there's more to life. We were made for relationship with God. That's our design. It's our purpose. And so Jesus is the only Savior who can truly deliver, you know, eternal security and deep satisfaction and glorious significance. Jesus is actually the one that we want, the one that we're looking for. Our hearts will be restless till we find our rest in him. Thirdly, Jesus is the Savior who's real. Maybe everything I've been saying this evening just seems unreal to you. You're not sure it's true. You're not sure God's even there. It all seems so abstract and out of this world. But that's the whole point of Christmas, that the God who is outside of this world has come into the world. That the God who is unseen has made himself known in a way that we can understand. He's the down-to-earth God. And so when we talk about Christmas, we're not talking about fairy tales. We're talking about facts, real historical events. When a girl called Mary gave birth to a baby called Jesus in the town of Bethlehem. The angel told the shepherds, "This is how you will know what I'm saying is true. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And what do the shepherds do? They hurry off. They go and check out what the angel said, and they find everything just as they've been told. I want to say, if you're someone who's a bit skeptical of the whole thing, will you take some time to do what the shepherds did? Check it out. Check out, is there any basis to this story? Is it real? Is it true? And if you're someone and you know, you're just in a place where you're doubting your faith right now, can I encourage you to do the same? To go and remind yourself why you believe what you believe. As we finish, I'm going to pray, but before I do, it'll be worth each one of us just thinking for you, what is it that's blocking your joy? What is it that's blocking my joy? Is it because I'm not persuaded Jesus is the Savior I need? I don't really believe I need saving. Or is it that I'm not sure Jesus is the Savior that I want? That he can actually fulfill me? Or is it that I'm just not sure it's real? Maybe it's just an empty promise. What do you need to address so that this Christmas is one in which you're able to experience the great joy that the angels spoke about, at the good news that a Savior has been born for you? I'm going to pray. If it's a prayer you agree with, you can join in with the Amen at the end. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for the message of Christmas. We thank you that it's a message not of superficial joy, but deep joy. A message that speaks into the darkness of this world and even the darkness of our own lives. We thank you that Jesus is the Savior we need, the one who can fix up our mess and forgive our sin. Thank you that Jesus is the Savior ultimately that we want, the one who can fulfill us at that deep level. And we thank you that Jesus is real. He's not make-believe. Thank you that he really has come. And so this Christmas, Father, we pray as we celebrate his coming, the coming of our Savior, we pray you'd fill our hearts with deep and lasting joy. We pray in his name. Amen.